From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty in for Robin Young.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, as negotiations continue in Washington, economist Diane Swonk will join us to talk about the short and long-term effects of the shutdown, the sequester, and the possibility of a U.S. debt default.
But first, one of the alleged masterminds of the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania, a man thought to be a top al-Qaeda operative, has pleaded not guilty to terrorism charges in a federal courtroom in New York. 49-year-old Abu Anas al-Libi was led out of court in handcuffs after a judge ordered him detained as a flight risk. Al-Libi was seized outside his home by U.S. Delta Force troops in Tripoli, Libya, 10 days ago. His arrival in the United States renews questions over whether the U.S. should be trying international terrorists in domestic courts. Carrie Johnson is NPR's Justice Department correspondent. And Carrie, let's start with a little more detail on al-Libi. What did the criminal indictment against him say?
So remember that this 1998 bombing or series of bombings at African embassies at the time represented a nearly unprecedented loss. 224 people died, including about a dozen Americans. And this indictment dates all the way back to 2000 in the Southern District in New York and Manhattan. It's really interesting because al-Libi was indicted alongside Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, which gives you a sense of how deeply rooted he was into al-Qaeda Central at the time. We know, of course, he's been on the loose for more than 15 years now. And one of the big intelligence questions left to answer is whether he kept up to date with al-Qaeda Central and some of al-Qaeda's most potent offshoots, such as in Yemen and in Africa, other parts of Africa, since that time.
So it's interesting because there is some disagreement over whether or not someone as deeply rooted, as you say, with al-Qaeda should be tried on U.S. soil. I mean, on the one hand, there are some people who say, look, there's a record of winning more convictions in terror cases in domestic courts. For example, the Justice Department has said that more than 125 people have convicted in American courts on terrorism charges since 2009. But on the other hand, that very same year, Attorney General Eric Holder pushed to try alleged 9/11 architect Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in the United States, but then he backed down and agreed instead to a trial by military commission. So tell us about the tension and the controversy between whether or not these suspects should be tried in U.S. courts.
So what we're seeing with the al-Libi case is the latest chapter in this long book over the politics of national security and detention of terrorism suspects. The Obama administration and many Democrats on Capitol Hill would tell you that the plotters of the 9/11 attacks are not even close to going to trial years and years after they were indicted, whereas the normal, ordinary U.S. court system has managed to try and convict many al-Qaeda detainees. That's essentially the crux of the matter. But it's worth noting now, the politics of the situation seems to be focused on an argument about how to best extract intelligence from these detainees before they're either prosecuted in the military system or the ordinary court. And what the administration has been doing is placing people in short-term military detention, as they did with al-Libi here, to extract intelligence, and then when they're done with that questioning, transferring them onto American soil to face trial in regular old criminal courtrooms.
Okay, so this is interesting, because al-Libi was seized in Tripoli 10 days ago, and then he was on board a U.S. warship for about a week. What do we know about the interrogation that happened there, or why it stopped?
Excellent question. Many members of Congress have told me they expected this interrogation to go on for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even more. What appears to have happened, according to U.S. intelligence sources I spoke with over the weekend and this morning, is that al-Libi, who has a series of pre-existing medical conditions, including, as his family has acknowledged, a severe case of hepatitis C, al-Libi stopped eating and drinking on the USS San Antonio, which exacerbated his hepatitis C and some other ailments, and they no longer had enough medical treatment available on that ship, so they sent him to New York on Saturday into a medical facility, and he'll ultimately be transferred onto the detention center for regular old criminals in New York City. But that interrogation appears to have stopped early because of his medical trouble.
Mm. So what's the next step in the process in the criminal proceedings against him?
You know, interestingly, even before he got here, there was a big fight over his access to attorneys. The Federal Public Defender's Office in New York had demanded he be brought to New York City to face trial right away. Now he will be appointed a lawyer. His family has also said they may want to hire a private lawyer for him. But we can expect a period of back and forth and pretrial wrangling for some weeks or months before this case really gets to the heart of the matter.
Carrie Johnson is NPR's Justice Department correspondent. Carrie, thank you so much.
Thank you.